I'm going to read from two passages. First, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then Luke 24, verses 45 to 47. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Just going to pray for David now. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come here this morning. We thank you that we can take time out of our busy lives and listen to your word. Will you calm our minds, calm our hearts, and give us ears to listen to what you want to speak to us this morning about? We thank you for David and the preparation that he's put into the message and how you've been speaking to him this week. Lord, would we hear? Would we quieten our hearts and really listen to you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Bridget, and a very warm welcome to you, whether you're here in person or watching online. We're continuing our series in the Apostles' Creed, talking about foundations of the faith. And last week we were hearing about the church and the amazing, beautiful thing that the church is. It's wonderful, isn't it, when you have strong, healthy communities where people love one another deeply, that kind of shine and radiate of that kind of picture of love and unity, whether that's churches or community groups, or even if you see it in a marriage. I remember a wonderful couple, Les and Beryl, married for 61 years, used to walk up out of the after church holding hands together, and I just thought, I want to be like that when I've been married 60 years. You know, you see a family working together and they're pulling as one team, and it's something so special. But not all churches, marriages, families are like that. You know, why do beautiful, healthy things sometimes go wrong? Why do even good marriages and strong churches, which seem to be going great, why do they sometimes fall apart, even in ways that seem irreparable? Why does it all fall apart? And how does it get fixed? That's what I want to explore as we think about the next line in the creed. You see, there's something which, unless you have it, your community group, your marriage, your family, your work relationships, or us as a church, you know, we're not going to build something strong, healthy, and lasting unless we have that thing. Do you know what that thing is? It is the focus of our passages. It's the focus of this line in the creed. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Apostles' Creed goes on, and today we're thinking about where it says, "I believe not just in the Holy Spirit or the Holy Catholic Church or the communion of saints, but the forgiveness of sins." This glorious theme. You know, forgiveness is, it comes out all across the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New, in the Gospels and the Epistles, you know, and actually, these bits of the creed are connected because it's through the Holy Spirit empowering people, empowering his church, that this message of forgiveness of sins has come to you and I. We wouldn't have heard of it otherwise. You know, hallelujah for all those who've carried it to us. And in fact, it's connected with what follows as well, as one writer puts it in this way. In the Apostles' Creed, the church confesses three glorious realities: the forgiveness of sins — these are the last lines of the Apostles' Creed — the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And the first reality makes the other two possible. And next week, we're going to be talking about those other two. So come back next week. But the creed is to do with things we believe, foundations of our faith. So I want to ask this morning, what does it mean to believe in the forgiveness of sins? What does does it mean to believe in the forgiveness of sins? And I want to explore two things as we think about that. I want to suggest and explore, what does it mean for us to believe that we need to and can receive ourselves forgiveness for our sins? And I want to explore, what does it mean and look like for us to believe that we need to forgive others their sins? And we're going to see that those two things are very connected. So firstly, receiving forgiveness for my sins, for your sins. I don't know if you realize this, but this little line about believing the forgiveness of sins is the first time in the Apostles' Creed that sin gets mentioned. I didn't notice that before. This is the place. And actually, in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, our first reading, just notice with me here how much kind of sin is mentioned in these verses. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins, their sins and your sins. All of them get mentioned in this passage. In fact, to believe in the forgiveness of sins, you have to believe in sin. And the reality is that if you want to know why things fall apart, good things fall apart, the answer is sin. Sin is always at the root of the problems. In fact, it's a bigger problem in our world than our world often, you know, thinks. In fact, our world responds to these problems often by kind of, you know, saying sin's not that serious. But open up the newspaper, you know, look around at lives and communities. The effects of sin are kind of everywhere. The damage that it causes is massive. In fact, the Bible says in a completely different way than the world kind of minimizes or says sin is not that serious. And the Bible says time and again, sin is a massively serious problem. In fact, it's a global problem. Everywhere, all through, you know, kind of the history of the kind of nation, sin has been a massive problem in my life and in your life. And in fact, one of the things that we often miss and our world misses, that sin isn't just a problem between, you know, you and your neighbor or your work colleague or your sibling or, you know, with someone in the church. It's not just that it messes up these relationships. Actually, sin is ultimately a problem because it's directed towards God. We're disobeying what God has told us of the good way to live, His way to live. And so this problem of sin, that's a global problem, we don't have the solution to it. We try better education and government and all kinds of self-help, but those don't solve this problem. This global problem has a single solution. And it is an amazing solution. It's the solution that we read about in Luke 24, or this solution that's going to get proclaimed across the world and is being proclaimed today, even in millions of places, in churches up and down this nation and across the nations. It's this message that Christ died and rose again. It's this message that through repentance and forgiveness of sins in His name, there is the possibility of a new life, of being washed clean, of being made new. That you and I have sinned. God knows my sin and He knows yours. He knows what is evident to others and what we might think is secret. God knows it. He knows that actually it's a bigger problem than we often admit to ourselves. And yet, the amazing thing is that God has come in the person of Jesus to help you and I be freed from our sin, be forgiven, as the kids so wonderfully sung. It moved me deeply that they talked about God's love for me and that God forgives me. And then they declared wonderfully God's love for us and that God forgives us. And both of those things are true, that there is a need for me to receive forgiveness for my sins. How do I do that? I repent. I acknowledge that what I've done is wrong. I turn to Jesus to believe that he can help me. He can forgive me through his death and resurrection. And as I do that, I receive his forgiveness. And you can do the same. In fact, you must do that if you want to be right with God, if you want the burden of guilt and shame to be taken off us. And let's be honest, sometimes the challenge is that we don't think we can be forgiven. Maybe you're even sitting here and you're wrestling with something you did even this week or in the years back, and you're thinking, I don't know really if I could ever be forgiven for that. You know, the enemy loves to lead us into sin and then loves to condemn us and say, right now, you're stuck. There's no problem. There's no solution. But I found this little phrase really helpful that Pete Gregg used in a little devotional I often use. And he just said this little line. He said, I think we got it up here on the screen. There is always more grace. That's the kind of love and forgiveness of God. There's always more grace in God than sin in me. Can we just say that together? There is always more grace in God than sin in me. Whatever you've done. And I don't know what that is, but God does. I do believe that if you repent and turn to Jesus, that there is forgiveness and love and grace in him that is bigger than your sin. That there is hope that you and I can be forgiven. And this is the message that the church has been carrying down through the centuries in wonderful, beautiful ways. Like when we have a baptism and that picture of people identifying with Jesus' death and resurrection. And in Acts 2, as they started this kind of movement of preaching the forgiveness of sins around the world, as they did that, this picture of people being washed clean, of born new. In fact, Peter said, look, come, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, every one of you. That was his call. And then the other kind of wonderful thing that was given to the church of communion, of the Lord's Supper, which is repeated, so many times and places down through the centuries, that too is laden with this wonderful theme of forgiveness, that we take the cup of the new covenant in his blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. And maybe those two pictures help us see that actually when we turn to Christ, our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. As we put our trust in him, we receive forgiveness. It's amazing. We're made right with God, justified. But communion reminds us that we need to keep coming and asking for forgiveness. To, as it were, keep that relationship, that communion that Christ's death won for us, to keep it kind of going well and not let any barricades get in between us and God. So today, will you receive forgiveness, maybe for the first time or maybe afresh? My longing and prayer is that no one would leave here carrying a burden of guilt and sin and shame that you were maybe carrying as you came in. That you and I would know, whatever you've done, that as we look to Jesus, we can be forgiven. But you know, there's a second thing that our passage speaks so powerfully about. It's this reality that not just do we need to receive forgiveness, we must show forgiveness to those who've sinned against us. You know, it was so helpful, Becca, what you shared last week. Just the reality that church is full of imperfect people and people get hurt. And I don't know about you, but I know as I think about the second point, showing forgiveness for the sins of others or for their sins, that you will have others in your life who've hurt you. It might be someone at school or college. It might be a sibling or a spouse. Often those who are closest to us are the ones we need to forgive most often. In fact, Billy Graham's wife said the best marriages are made by the best forgivers. It might be your kids. They're just really kind of just frustrated you so much in what they've done, and you just need to forgive them. It might be your parents. It might be someone at work. It might be someone in your community group or even in this room. There will be people in your life who've hurt you. Now again, what's the world's way to respond to that? Well, I think about what I sometimes do, and actually I look around and I think this is what the world tends to do. We either tend to withdraw and thinking, right, well, if that's what they're going to be like, I will just kind of check out and I'll never talk to my neighbor again or my colleague or blank them or whatever it is in church. I will maybe even you're watching online, you kind of stop coming. We withdraw. You ever done that? Or maybe we do the kind of similar thing, but in a kind of completely different way. We move towards that person, but to hurt them. Like, we're like, right, I'm going to kind of thump them. Maybe not literally, but with my words. Or maybe you've been up at night wording that email. I know I've done this. You know, like, okay, you know, this is what I'm going to try and say. And then I try and remember to make sure I sleep on it and don't send it the next day. Because that is not the way of Christ. The way of the world is, you've been hurt, well, look to show hurt. Hurt people, and the cycle continues around the world in nations and communities and families. But brothers and sisters, the way of Christ is so beautifully and wonderfully different. The way of Christ is this way of the Apostles' Creed about forgiveness. This way that brings hope and healing. But you see, the challenge is that it's kind of this receiving forgiveness and showing forgiveness are so much more connected than we feel comfortable with. Look at the words of Jesus again in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me read that last line again. Jesus says, if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Should we just read that together? Because I think that danger of not sinking in. From the butt, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I find when I read that, I say, is that right? Jesus, really? Maybe it's a bit of a one-off. Maybe a mistranslation. Maybe, I mean, there's so much about how God forgives us in the Bible, and I'm looking and I'm going, you know what? I only need to go a few more chapters. Matthew 18, and we're going to be looking at it in the summer as one of the parables of the kingdom as we have a summer series on that in August. And Jesus tells a parable. And this is the point of the whole parable. In fact, the parable ends in Matthew 18 with Jesus saying, just in case you misunderstood this parable, let me spell it out to you. As you treat others, that's how God will treat you, particularly around this area of forgiveness. And actually, just in case you missed it, let me teach you a prayer which you can pray regularly, which shows the connection. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. These two things are so connected in the teaching of Jesus. And if we don't feel sometimes uncomfortable by that, if we don't realize the kind of the mustness of our forgiving others, we have missed what Jesus is saying in the Gospels. We're in danger of kind of saying we believe in the forgiveness of sins, just not for them or them or them or them. Brothers and sisters, we have to get this to heart. We have to see, and I found what John Stott said about this so helpful. I think we got his quote up here in his commentary on Matthew 6, 14 and 15. He said, this certainly doesn't mean that our forgiveness of others earns us the right to be forgiven. No, we looked in that first point that Jesus does that. It is rather that God forgives only the penitent. The repentant, the ones we were thinking about at the first point, and that one of the chief evidences of true penitence is a forgiving spirit. If we're not penitent, if we're not realize that what we've done is wrong, if we're not sorry for our sin, if we're not repentant towards God and receiving what he has done for us, if we haven't grasped that, we won't forgive others. Forgiveness, you see, is massively costly. It's painful. It hurts. In fact, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, you know, everyone thinks forgiveness is a good idea until you have to forgive someone, and then they find it is really hard. And I know Many of you in this church, I know you've been through pain and difficulties and struggles and real hurts that you've faced. I know it's hard to forgive. I know it's costly, but I know that I need to keep coming back to the scriptures, keep coming back to others who I can learn from about forgiveness, so that I can forgive whether those who are close to me or strangers, for big things or for small things. And I find that I find stories of how others have wrestled and come to that place of forgiveness really help me. And I found a story this week that I'd never heard before, from a guy called Danny Abdullah in Australia. And he's going to tell his story just in this 5-minute video. And I just encourage you, listen, allow your heart to be inspired again about the need to forgive. Thank you, Ben.
I am Danny Abdullah. I am a loving husband. But today, I address you in my full capacity as a father. Or as my children would call me, Dad. The father of Anthony, Angelina, Liana, Sienna, Alex, and Michael Abdullah. 6 beautiful children who are my purpose for living. Firstly, I must begin by saying how honored beyond measure both Layla and I are to welcome such supporting and respected leaders of our wonderful nation and key members of the body of Christ. On Saturday, the 1st of February, 2020, my life was turned upside down and literally changed forever. 7 precious, innocent and adorable children were taking a walk to get some ice cream on a perfect summer's day. A walk many, if not all of us, have taken early in our lives with excitement and independence as a part of a true Aussie ritual. What happened next cannot be understood, explained, or made sense of. My oldest son, Anthony, my oldest daughter, Angelina, my youngest daughter, Sienna, and along with their beautiful, loving cousin, Veronique, were tragically killed by a drunk and drug driver unbeknown to my wife and I. Then I received the phone call that no parent should ever receive. Come now, your kids have been in an accident. With my heart pounding and mind racing in deep desperation, I made my way to what is now the scene of the most tragic accident this nation has witnessed in modern times. 4 children dead instantly. It was like entering the aftermath of a war zone. Friends, I am in pain. My days are empty. My heart is aching. Tears of hopelessness visit me each day. I am dying on the inside, and it's hard to take much more. However, I faced a choice. The choice that I want you all to comprehend if there is anything I want to share with you today. What path do I take? The path of destruction or the path of construction? Do I react and numb this pain or respond and face this pain? I choose to respond. I choose to seek my refuge and my strength. I choose to obey my Father in heaven and forgive. Many question, why don't you blame God? But the truth is, there is no other place to run to but God. He is the only one that can carry me through this. My only mentor in these uncharted waters is Jesus. Jesus, our ultimate example for forgiveness. The one who suffered beyond measure, yet extends forgiveness to all. I forgive myself, and I forgive the offender for the greater good of my family. This has allowed us to live in a state of peace and grace. And I promise you, if my children were here today, they would say, Dad, forgive him. In the world we live in today, we worry about tomorrow and complain about yesterday. We tend to forget the best place to live in is in the now. That's the only place love lives, in the present moment. Time is the most greatest and most valuable commodity we are given. Love your children now. Keep their love tanks full now. My children live the full life, and by full, I mean full of unconditional love. Experiencing the power of forgiveness firsthand has ignited the purpose for today, the I Forgive Day. Our heart is to share the message and power of forgiveness to every Australian. This is the legacy of Anthony, Angelina, Sienna, and Veronique. For forgiveness to permeate from this tragedy brings purpose to their lives. To be ruled by unforgiveness is a life of bitterness and hate, self-destructing slowly and robbing yourself of a life of liberty and love. This is our journey. This is our message. And the 1st of February marks the day where we can focus on mental and emotional freedom, a message of hope and strength to every Australian to overcome pain and suffering in the only way that there is. My name is Danny Abdullah, and I forgive. Thank you.
I find that so moving, in part because it's just real about the pain. The pain that he's feeling and still feels. But also because he's real about the choice. There is a real choice if you have been hurt and are hurting today. There's a real choice you face. A choice either to take a destructive path for you and others around you, or a constructive one. And I love the way Danny in that video says, I choose to follow the only mentor in this uncharted waters, Jesus Christ. He is the one whose way is radically different than the way of the world, or even the instincts that we sometimes have inside. And his way is the best way for you and for others. To get to that place as we follow him. And again, the kids sung that so powerfully, didn't they, about following him. To say, I choose to forgive. You know, the Bible highlights some of the dangers of if we don't do that. It talks about how a bitter root in Hebrews can grow up in our lives. And I want to encourage you, don't let a bitter root grow up in your life. As it were, roots are so much easier to pull out when you catch them small. Kind of de-weed, as it were. Or another illustration that I found so helpful about forgiveness or unforgiveness and bitterness is that if we allow unforgiveness and bitterness in our life, it's like we have a wound, a hurt, but actually, the bitterness is like an infection that stops the wound healing. And choosing to forgive is like keeping the wound clean. It still might take time for that wound to heal, but you give it time without infection for healing to happen. And so, brothers and sisters, I give you a bit of advice that I read some years back and I've found so helpful. And it's simply this: forgive ruthlessly. Forgive ruthlessly. Whether a big thing or a small thing, determine that you're going to decide straight away, I'm not going to let that kind of fester. I'm going to forgive it. And that may still take time to process the pain, to grieve the loss, to deal with the hurt. But don't let forgiveness, don't let unforgiveness in your life. Allow forgiveness to keep those wounds clean so that they can heal. Forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you. So who do you need to forgive today? Is it a spouse? Is it a family member? A work colleague? Is it someone even in the church? Who do you need to show forgiveness for their sins? Not pretending that they didn't matter. One of the hard things about forgiveness when we forgive others is we have to pay in some way for what they've done. But that is what the cross is all about. That's what Jesus has done. He has paid for my forgiveness so that I can be free. How much has he done for me? Hallelujah. May the joy of the Lord in his forgiveness be my strength and your strength to forgive others this day. And so I want to lead us in the prayer that Jesus taught us, and maybe the band could even come up. And I want to lead us in just the two lines, and I'm going to do something in between them and pause. That Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins. And I'm going to pause after just praying that. I'm encouraging you to be praying it in your own heart. And I want you to hold your hands out and just as you repent and believe and turn to Jesus, will you receive the forgiveness that Jesus wants to give you today through what he's done? And then we're going to do, after we've just paused and the band will kind of be playing, after we've paused in that time, just receiving the forgiveness for our sins, we're then going to kind of, as it were, turn our hands over. And we're going to pray the second bit that Jesus taught us as we forgive those who sin against us. And we're going to choose to let that desire to make them pay go. We're going to choose to forgive as we pray that second prayer. So let's just come. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And as the band just play, just ready your heart to receive. You just want to put your hands out in front of you in that posture of receiving. You may even want to think of some particular things and ways in which you know you've disobeyed God, even this week. Jesus, we repent and turn to you, believing that you can, through your death and resurrection, forgive us. And so we pray together as you taught us, and if you feel able, why not just pray this out loud? It's on the screen. Forgive us our sins. As we stay in this place, receive that forgiveness. The leper came to Jesus and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus says, I am willing. Be clean. Receive the healing and forgiveness in Jesus' name. For your sins are like scarlet. God's word says in Isaiah, they will be as white as snow. Lord, we receive joyfully, thankfully, your forgiveness. And now help us forgive others. You might want to just turn your hands the other way around, the palms now facing down, and just think of those hurt sins done by others to you that you maybe just need to choose, maybe even again, choose again to let go. Lord, we choose to forgive. Lord, to forgive those who've hurt us. Maybe again with even some specific people in mind, let's pray this prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Father, forgive our sins, and then we join in together as we forgive those who sin against. And we bless them. We pray, help us love them. In your mighty and wonderful name, in the power of your Spirit, as we worship you with joy and freedom, for you are our Savior, our God, and we love you and we thank you, mighty God. Let's worship together.